Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
So today for Goals Question Time, I have the pleasure of being joined by Phil Smith, who is Chief Executive of Cisco Systems in the UK and Ireland, and also has the role of Chairman of Innovate UK. So Phil, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Andrew.
So, Phil, would you mind just giving us a kickoff, please, and just give a brief introduction of your role within Cisco and then also the role within Innovate UK?
Well, so the Cisco role, interesting enough, just this week I'm 22 years in Cisco, which is an interesting lineage for what was a relatively young company. But when I joined 22 years ago, I think there were 10 people in the UK, and there's now 7,000 or so. So it's a significantly bigger company that's come through quite a lot of change. And obviously my role now as Chief Executive UK and Ireland is basically responsible for everything that goes on in the UK and Ireland, not only the sales business in there, but the significant amount of R&D and other things that we do in the UK and Ireland is holding that whole community together, keeping them engaged and building and sustaining an excellent organization. So big business, biggest outside of the US and has been for some time. So that's great. And Innovate UK, excellent. I'm the non-exec chair of Innovate UK. So Innovate UK, as you probably know, formerly known as the Technology Strategy Board or TSB, was previously a government advisory body some 8 or 9 years ago, which was responsible for advising Department of Trade Biz on technology strategy. But then subsequently was floated out of government 7 or 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago, to become an arm's length body. So it has its own chief exec, a couple hundred people who work for Innovate UK all the time, technologists and other folks, and then an external governing board, which I chair.
Excellent. Great. So we can see you've got a lot long depth, a long history and depth of experience then in some of the changes that we're seeing. So in terms of the key technologies and new business models, what sort of ones are you seeing now as opportunities or threats to business more generally in society through those roles that you've got?
Well, I think, you know, probably right across the piece, but certainly with my Cisco hat on, there's no doubt about it that the whole kind of digital, the whole revolution, the digitization of companies, you know, and that means the companies that are recognizing that the widespread and universal connectivity of everything in their organization, the simplification of their processes, but most importantly, the smart and incisive use of the data that they have within organizations to help them be more sophisticated in the way they operate is a huge force sweeping through at the moment. I mean, we see it from the bottom and the web guys like Amazon and Google and Facebook and so on, where they've obviously got super optimized ways of doing things that are challenging industries all over the place. You know, the Amazon, when you talk to most of the retailers, they don't care less about each other now and care much more about what Amazon and some of the other Bond and the web people are doing. And I think that change is happening to every company. I don't know a single company I talk to now that doesn't see that digitization or making their business more digital, more is something that they want to do. So that's a big force. On top of that, then there's the whole principle of with new technologies like, you know, sensor or increasingly affordable sensor technology and increasingly sophisticated networks, the whole Internet of Things. So this idea that suddenly everything, not just a few billion people are connected to the Internet, but tens, hundreds, billions, even trillions of things are connected in some way that allows them to create what's probably the next generation of the Internet. You know, the Internet that created originally that allowed us to do Amazon and eBay and Google and Facebook and so on. We didn't dream up all those when the Internet started. We're probably not going to dream up the next set until we connect. And, of course, that then plays to the things I see in Innovate, like healthcare and high-performance computing and analysis capability that you get for gene sequencing. You get, energy usage or shared platforms for managing energy and so on. So huge amounts of interesting change happening on, some of it underpinned by fundamental technologies, but a lot of it underpinned now by this whole, you know, digitization of our world.
Yeah, no, but very much agree. As you and I've discussed in the past, I think now technology isn't necessarily the barrier. It's how do these new business models affect organizations in what I would term innovative new value chains? How do you string together these technologies or startups and that for corporates? So how are you seeing Cisco developing its capabilities to be able to support that? Because you said it's changed over the 22 years you've been there from putting some boxes in for routers for the old internet to what you're doing now.
Yeah, really interesting, because that change, for Cisco, obviously we recognizing that over the years our strategy has always been a build, buy, partner, co-develop and invest sort of model. So, you know, we're building stuff and we still spend huge amounts of money on R&D, and that means you need to keep innovating. If you're going to be a leader, you need to keep innovating yourself. But buying, close to 100 companies. And the 200 companies, of course, are providing you with other aspects of technology innovation, which may be better developed in the market and then taken into an organization like Cisco who can scale them. And then, obviously, the kind of partner model is significant, and increasingly significant. We've always been very partner-oriented, but I think in this new Internet of Things, cloud, and digitized world, you know, we clearly can't do everything. If you're running a city, there's traffic light systems and, you know, building control systems and things in hospitals that aren't necessarily Cisco technology, but they're all connected somehow into that world. And then, you know, co-development, big relationship with Apple now and with others where we're seeing the necessity to pull those things together. And then a big investment portfolio, as you and I again have discussed, how do you actually go out and start to become part of, look at small companies, help to support them and grow them. And then locally, we've got an innovation program that allows us on the ground to be touching lots of companies, getting a lot of engagement with startups that are not necessarily core to Cisco, but are part of that bigger system that our customers are involved in. And we have a couple of innovation centers in London and several more around the country that we're connecting and some more we're creating that allow us to get that really local touch.
Yeah, so I see that, as you say, in terms of these value chains in transport or health, that different corporates, and Cisco is changing its model, and then the current incumbents or the organizations that come into that are changing. Looking at
I was going to say a good example of that. We've done some work in recent times on something which we put with some companies who are under an Innovate project, looking at the next generation of stations. You know, train stations and such like, and working with people like Telen and, other people who would be in that ecosystem of people who are working on the train system, which wouldn't naturally have been things we're involved in, but of course, to the whole digital play again, these stations and trains and whatever are all being digitized in some way, and people want to have access to things while they're on the train. And I think, you know, that's a good example of that. And we're doing another one up in Scotland on flood management, you know, and connecting together all the services that do that in a much more sophisticated way. So, you know, you're right, there's sort of new ecosystems evolving.
Yeah, certainly an example that we've been leading is one with, pharmaceutical businesses, with startups in diabetes testing, and then we did a workshop at McLaren, for example, in how those things come together with different ways. So it's how you join those things, I think it's fascinating now how different technologies and business models are coming around. But maybe thinking from a UK perspective now, because I've seen things now happening in from the US and Silicon Valley, manufacturing and programs we've been running in China. Where do you see the role for the UK, or do you look at it from that in terms of the Innovate UK? Where do we leverage those things from countries or capabilities in particular geographies?
Yeah, I think the UK is really exciting for Andrew, because I mean the truth is that you've got. You know, we know and widely quoted the best universities in the world. We've got much of the highly cited research and development in the world. So, you know, we know that we've got the best stuff coming out of that system. But we've also got incredibly active startup environments, you know, which you're involved in, where we're actually seeing exciting startups, whether it be in the biomedical space or in the, you know, genetic space within that, or you see, exciting areas in transport or media or some of the things that are happening in the web companies in Tech City and so on. I mean, those are really exciting. And I think Innovate UK, in its ability to support particularly companies which we sort of ignore a little bit. And when you have this sort of general narrative about supporting startups, people often think of, you know, web-type startups, you know, someone in the bedroom just creating a website and it's amazing, relatively low cost of entry. But, of course, those are startups we want to support, but there's lots of other startups. If you're a company that's creating a medical device, you know, you've got long trials to do, bits of R&D, patient trials to deal with, legislation and so on, and they need support. And Innovate UK is in a great position to give those kind of companies and organizations an ability to keep on and keeping that great technology and innovation in the UK till they're at the point when they can go and create a prototype and take it to someone to get funded, they can actually take them to the next step. So I think it's that sort of program, and doing the same for government organizations who also need that help with startups, using programs like we call the SBRI program in Innovate UK that allows to put government challenges. What are the things government needs to be better on? How can you engage startups in doing that? So there's a lot of great opportunities for Innovate to do those kinds of things, and I think they're important in supporting the UK and driving economic growth, driving productivity, and driving real advantage for the country.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that longer term view about how some of these industries like health and transport are going to be changed. It's not just about creating another app, is it? It's about how do these things all connect together, which needs a longer term infrastructure and a longer term development and testing and implementation, sort of future sort of proofing these things.
No, I agree. Those ecosystems you talked about have got to be brought together and connected.
Yeah, no, that's great. So just in terms of what does the future of the next 22 years hold then, as you start looking back, any forethought or foresight of 22 years?
Well, you know, it's clear that there are some very exciting things happening. You know, we see all the kind of widely publicized autonomous vehicles and so on are exciting, but that whole kind of concept of machine learning and, you know, you look at things like Siri, obviously Apple's voice recognition capability. I mean, that's something that's learning, you know, it's a machine learning environment. It's getting smarter all the time without any kind of apocalyptic perspective on it. You know, that's very exciting in its ability to actually adapt itself to become more and more usable. I mean, if you think of something like Siri from when it first came out, when it barely understood English, to now when you can have an amazingly, you know, simple conversation with them, and Amazon Echo and all these other things that are coming out now similar to that, which is incredible. And they're changing the way we do things. So that in itself is exciting. But I think, when you look at the world of, you know, things like gene sequencing and so on, you know, as you'll know the stat, you know, from 2001, it was 100 million to sequence a single gene. And now, you know, we're below 1,000 and we're heading for below 100. Dollars to do 100, you know, you're talking about 100 million. To, I mean, it's, you know, a million fold reduction in cost. And that's been driven by, you know, new computing power, smarter algorithms, you know, smarter networks and so on. And that's incredibly exciting when you start to look at the opportunities for medicines, things like precision medicine and, you know, stratified medicine, it's called, you know, ways of building drugs that just work for you and don't work for me or whatever. I mean, that's super exciting. It really is.
Yeah. Well, I think just on your sort of Siri example, certainly my 9-year-old daughter now over the last number of months gets bored talking to me, and she's picked my phone up and talked to Siri.
Exactly. Well, we've got a young autistic lad who's come. It's incredible. I mean, I've got a young autistic lad who's come to us for many years in sort of respite care, a good friend of the family, and it has totally changed his life because he used to, you know, he's got a relatively young writing age, but he now uses Siri to read his messages, talk back to us, save notes. Incredible. I mean, it has fundamentally made him more mobile, more able to engage in society. Those sorts of technologies are just amazing, I think.
Yeah, we're gonna see these things, as I say, coming from the edges of society and edges of countries, and a new age ones coming through that are going to use things in ways we hadn't sort of thought of.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Phil, what do you do when you're not very busy in terms of, say, running your Cisco and Innovate UK? What are the hobbies? What time do you get?
Well, I mean, you should
ask the most difficult question when I
It's not for me, because I'm a massive triathlon fan, so I'm massively into triathlon. I do lots of triathlon. I started about 8 or 9 years ago, and in fact, I was lucky enough 2 years ago to qualify for the GB team in my age group, so I actually went to Canada and represented Great Britain in my age group for triathlon, which is pretty cool. And then I've done a charity thing for the last few, 2012, 2014. I'm doing it again this year, where I got about 30 CEOs together who all do some kind of triathlon-based challenge. And we're doing something this year in Eton Dorney, where I'm getting there. Each of the 30 CEOs is bringing 30 people from their company. And we're doing a very kind of fast and active version, you know, short form, so lots of people can get involved. If you can even run a mile, you can do it. And it'd be brilliant. And we're hoping to raise over £300,000 for Sport Relief, as we've done the previous times as well. So,
fantastic.
So, yeah, get involved.
Where do we find you on that? You on Just Giving or sort of something like that?
Well, at the moment, the way it's been, it will be through Sport Relief. So I'll send some stuff out here that's helpful. But we'd love to do that. I mean, it's on the 3rd of July. So it's although Sport Relief this weekend, and we're all doing the Sport Relief Mile in the Olympic Park.
Yeah.
We're actually, the event is not until the 3rd of July. And all the CEOs are getting their teams all wound up. And so hopefully by the 3rd of July, we'll run that event. So, you know, 30 CEOs bring 30 people. That's 900 people that's going to be out there doing our own event, having a bit of fun with kids and everything else as well there. So it should be great.
Well, that's excellent. Well, we'll certainly promote that then in the interview and on the podcast. So,
well, if there are any CEOs really who'd like to do it, then put their team in, and I'd be very happy to have them part of it.
Well, this CEO will need to go do a bit more practice and training first. So, Phil, speaking to you again, thanks very much for your time today and sharing your insights.
No problem. Nice to talk to you, Andrew. Cheers for now.